Exodus, the 14th chapter. Hallelujah. 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 This is a word that has been staring in my spirit for some time. I don't want you to get lost in the style of my preaching or in the flair of a church sound, Hammond B3 organ or any of that. I really want you to hear what the Lord is saying to you. The very book, the text that we are taking this morning is a suggestion to you of what is occurring in your life at this moment. I'm gonna say it again. The very book, the very text that we're taking is a suggestion to you of what is happening in your life at this very moment. Look at your name and say, you're about to have an Exodus experience. I'm going to come over here and say it over this side, over here. Look at your name and say, you're about to have an Exodus experience. I got some work to do. I got some work to do, but it's all right. The Bible says, Exodus, the Bible says that the Lord had Moses to speak unto the children of Israel. Verse 1 says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. I want you to read this very carefully, and I want you to hear it, because these are the passages of scripture that we pass over because we don't understand the words or the meaning. God spoke to Moses. Y'all got the wrong scripture up. God spoke to Moses, verse 1 and 2. Of Exodus 14, God spoke to Moses and said, I want you to tell the children of Israel to turn and camp before a certain place, meaning that they were headed in a different direction. The place where God is telling them to camp is not the position where you camp. I'll get there in just a second. Between Migdol and the sea, opposite of Baal Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. As he told them these instructions, he then tells them that I will harden, turn me down a little bit, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Here's why I want you to do it, because I'm about to set something up. Okay, I'm gonna do it again. Let me just read the scripture before I start preaching. He says, I want you to encamp by the sea, for Pharaoh will say, verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. Or in other words, they're blocked in by the land. Go camp in this site where you're not supposed to camp. Then Pharaoh will say that the children of Israel are blocked in. They are bewildered by the land. They are entangled by this land. And the wilderness has shut them in. And then the Bible says, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And the Bible says, and they did so. Now go to verse 21. Verse 21, that's where they were, because that's where I told them to be. And I switched it up on them real quick. So it's not their fault. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea into dry ground, and the waters were divided. I want to preach to you from the message title, The Wind is Right. Father, thank you for the word of the living God. Thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and discern the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us today that it doesn't change just some things. Let it change everything. Let it cause us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch every heart so it's open to receive this word. Anoint every ear that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing in this room, in this place, in this moment, is that you have your way. Do whatever it is you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor for what you're about to do. But Father, this one thing we know. If you don't show up, ain't nothing gonna happen. So I say, come into this place. Fill this room with your glory. I don't just want to preach, Father. I want to do it in your presence and with your power. So I ask for you to come. Heal, touch, and deliver, and set free. Let no person leave here the same. Let us all be changed by your power. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, left or right, doesn't matter. Smile as bright as you can. Come on. Show them everything God has blessed you with. You know what it is, KLC. Gold teeth are included. This is Baltimore. The rule in this church, you have to show at least 10 teeth or it does not count. Smile. Count their teeth right now. Look at them and say, the wind is right. The wind is right. Find somebody else and look at them before you sit down and say, the wind is right. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to walk through this a little bit if that's all right. I want to walk through this because I want you to understand it and I want you to get it. You are about to have an Exodus experience. An Exodus experience means that God is going to give you a moment, a window of opportunity to come out of something that otherwise you could not have come out of unless God got involved and did it for you. Please look at your neighbor and say, you're about to have an Exodus experience. All Exodus experiences are not coming out of addiction or coming out of something bad. It could be coming out of a mindset. It could be coming out of a situation, yes. But it also could be coming out of a mindset. You have to understand that God was trying to take his children, his beloved, the apple of his eye, outside of the realm of slavery and the mindset of slavery that incarcerated them years after they were taken out. The problem with the children of Israel was that they never really experienced the experience. They simply had an Exodus moment. In other words, they did not allow themselves to grow inside the story, yet they had the memory of what the Lord had done. Even with the memory, because the memory will lapse, you got to have something a little bit deeper in the realm of knowing for yourself, something called an experience that no one can take away from you, regardless of the facts that they argue against you. The person with an experience will always have the upper hand of a person with an argument. You might have all the data and all the stats that can suggest that you are intelligent about the situation, but you can be smart about something stupid. Y'all ain't said nothing. You can be real intelligent for the wrong thing, because if you were not there, if you weren't in the moment, if you did not have the experience, how can you tell me anything? I was there. I was there when he healed my body. I was there when he changed my life. I was there when he pulled me out of the muck and miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my going. I was there when it looked like I had no way out and he made a way out of no way. I was there when all hope was lost and I decided to hope against hope. And somehow at the right moment, at the right time, at the last second, God showed up right in the middle of my circumstances. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, where were you, baby? Where were you? Where were you when I was earning my stripes to give God the praise I'm about to give him? Where were you when I was going through my darkest hour and the light of the love of God showed up at that moment when I thought I was going to lose it? Where were you? Don't you look down on me because I take 20 seconds to give God glory for what he's done in my life. No, 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 oh, no, 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 yeah, no, no, no. I need about 10 radically crazy people to take 20 seconds and just say, God, thank you. Oh, I feel this thing in here. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for how you did it. Just thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. I feel the power of the Holy Spirit in here. Thank you, Jesus. Does anybody got a thanks down in their spirit? Oh, God, I feel. Thank you, Lord. Y'all sit down. Y'all sit down. I come to understand that God can give you a moment that has an experience, that gives you an encounter, and you never have an epiphany. You never have this contact with the divine that gives you an aha moment. The moment that teaches you, I ain't never going back to that another day in my life. I don't have no help. The moment that teaches you and instructs you that I will never experience again. I might experience some more difficulty, but it won't be that. I might experience some stuff, but it won't be that. I might have another bad relationship, but it won't be that one. I might make another bad choice, but it won't be that. The aha moment that teaches you that I'm never going back to that experience again. God is giving them an Exodus experience, and it's dramatic, man. It's full of drama. If I had time, I'd really dive into it, but it's full of drama, and the drama is amazing. It's epic. It's film worthy. They made one about it. And all of the drama that surrounded the Exodus experience, all that God had to orchestrate and all that God had to do to bring them to this moment and to this point is absolutely astounding. And they got to this moment and they got to this point without ever having an epiphany. And the reason they never have an epiphany is because they don't understand that God is radically benevolent. They don't understand that the goodness of God is so radical that you're not even supposed to be in the moment that you find yourself in right now. They don't understand that they should have been killed a long time ago, but yet somehow God has gotten them to this threshold of never seeing an enemy that was hounding them, that was chasing them, and that was holding them down another day in their life, and they don't recognize it. They don't even understand it. This is why God had to go to Moses and say, I need you to tell the people to go make camp over here. I can only imagine the attitudes of the individuals when Moses came to them and gave them one more, the Lord said. Sometimes God can tell you something that you absolutely disagree with. Oh, I'm talking to somebody in here. He can give you some instruction that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever and tells you to go do a thing knowing you don't have the capacity to do it, you don't have the resources to do it, you don't have the network to do it, but yet he says, trust me, I want you to believe me for it, and I want you to start stepping out into it, and you're looking at him like, bruh, I don't think so. God can do something like that in your life and tell you and give you an instruction that you do not agree with. This is why, stay with me. This is why in the body of Christ, we lack the understanding of fellowship. The reason why you have to have fellowship is because you can't know God all by yourself. I know in the age of me and my self-interest, and it's all about my stuff, and it's my phone, my iPhone. Y'all ain't said nothing. And all of the stuff that appeals to you and that pleases you. The problem is, in the kingdom of God, is that you're never going to get accomplished what God wants you to get accomplished all by yourself. You're going to have some fellowship, and you're going to have to encounter some people who are able to give you a different perception about the God that you serve. Look at your neighbor and say, that's why I need your testimony. If it wasn't for your story, I might not have stepped out to believe God the way I'm believing God right now. If I did not hear that God was moving in the life of another, I might have quit a long time ago. But because I saw him do it, and I heard that he was still a healer, and I heard that he was a keeper, and I heard that he was a waymaker, that made me say, wait a minute here. That might be something there for me. And it causes me to step out and to believe God in faith, believing. I'm going somewhere with this thing. And so I can only imagine the attitudes of the individuals who heard Moses say, the Lord said, I want you to go and camp between Migdol and the sea. Stay with me. I want you to camp between Migdol and the sea. And I want you to do it by Baal-Zephon. And the reason why I want you to do it by Baal-Zephon is because I'm going to make a statement when I give you your Exodus experience. I'm not just bringing you out. I'm bringing you out with a flare. I'm not just bringing you out. I'm bringing you out with a bang. I'm not just bringing you out. I'm bringing you out so that people will know I am the Lord your God. When I bring you out, there's not going to be a shred of doubt that if it had not been for the Lord on, who am I talking to in here, on my side, I would not have done it. God is a master planner at moving people to where they need to go to give them a seminal moment in their life that leads them to an epiphany. This aha awareness of what God can do, even though it makes no sense, you can only understand it because you know that God is radically good. And because he's radically good, my God, I'm preaching up in here. And because he's not just good, he's radically good. And because he's radically good, he specializes in doing something ridiculously noteworthy. Ah, you don't hear what I'm saying. God is about to do something ridiculously noteworthy in your life that's going to lead not just to an experience but to an epiphany, where you live in this aha awareness and never ever forget who you serve and who he is. Oh God, look at your neighbor and say, aha, aha, I got it. You can have some encounters with God. You can have some encounters with God, a healing or a victory or a miracle or a breakthrough. But an Exodus experience is not just one incident. It's an incident that can never, ever be retracted, that can never, ever go back. It can't really be orchestrated by us. It cannot be manufactured by us. It can really only be experienced by us, because God has to set the tone for this type of moment. If you and I strategized it and planned it, we would have never camped between Migdol and Baal-Zephon. The reason why we would not have camped there, because there is no place to camp. The reason that there's no place to camp is because this is the place where sedges grow. In other words, a sedge is a flower or a plant that only grows in a marsh. So in other words, God has them in a marsh, in a wetland, and is telling them to camp in the wetland. And the only thing that is standing between them and their adversary is the wetland and the Red Sea. Meaning, where I'm standing, I have no footing. So even if I wanted to fight, I couldn't fight because I can't get my ground, because it's a marsh. I'm preaching up in here. God has them positioned strategically at a location where they can't fight. When God gives you your moment, you don't have no control. I'm preaching to somebody in here. Oh, you don't want to hear it. I'm gonna come over here. When God gives you your moment, you have no control over the moment. Oh yeah, now we're getting somewhere. Touch your neighbor and say, get out your head, boom, get out your head. To have an Exodus experience, you can't do it in your head. Here we go. You can't do it in your head. See, you want to do it in your head. You want to know rationally. Oh, I'm getting somewhere right now. You want to know rationally. I understand it. I got my education. Come on here, somebody. I want to know rationally sometimes too. The problem is God is not rational. He's radical. You don't hear what I'm saying. The stuff that he does defies logic. It defies our mindset. So while you're trying to wrap your mind around it, you're going to miss your moment trying to be rational. Oh, touch your neighbor. Say, it's not supposed to make sense. Am I preaching to anybody in here? You want it to make sense. You want it to be rational. Oh, God, you're going to have to reconstruct your mindset if you're going to have this Exodus experience. If you're going to have a moment that takes you out of something that's been holding you back and keeping you down, never to ever see it another day in your life. I'm going to say that one more time. Never to ever see it another day in your life. God, I really got to find somebody to preach to. Never ever to see it another day in your life. That means it is possible that you never experience poverty again. It is possible that you never experience that sickness again. It is possible, you don't hear what I'm saying, that you never experience that pain again. Stay with me. Let me get to where I need to go. Okay. So if you see, right now you want me to give you the rational, logical thought in a systematic way, that I learned in seminary to deliver to you the thought of God systematically. The problem with systematic theology is who decides to confine the thought of God in a system and then try to confine it for you to understand it. That's why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. I'm operating in a domain that I don't even have control over. It's a wise domain. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's not of me, nor is it of this world, but it is of God. This is why when you do it, my God, it delivers peace into your life, and it's a peace that passes all understanding. Oh God, I wish I had somebody to talk to. When God delivers your moment, you have no control, but you do have peace. It looks like you should be worrying or going crazy, but you have peace. And people are looking at you going, how are you so peaceful? It passed my understanding. I don't know. I just got it. Oh, y'all don't want me to preach this thing up in here. You want control, but I'd rather have peace over control. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. If I control it, if I'm busy controlling it, I can't experience it. And if I can't experience it, I can't have an aha awareness. I can't have an epiphany if I'm doing the controlling and the maneuvering and the scheming, but if I'm just in it. Oh God, if I'm just abiding, if I'm just resting. Am I preaching to anybody in here? If I'm just in it, then I can experience it. I can't experience it if I'm controlling it. When God brings you to an Exodus experience, you can't control it. Stop trying to control it. Oh God, look at your neighbor and say, get out your head. In order for God to get you there, don't go ahead of yourself, Phillips. Don't go ahead. They're gonna get with you. Calm down. It's all right. In order for God to give you this Exodus experience, is going to require you to stay in a position that is so uncomfortable, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, in a place that makes no sense whatsoever. Tell the children of Israel to camp between Migdol. Migdol means strong tower. Somebody say strong tower. Migdol means strong tower. He tells them, I want you to encamp in a place of the strong tower. And the strong tower is not the strong tower because it's a fortified place. Where they're camping is full of caverns and full of holes, and it's a marshland, and it's a hilly land full of marshes. And the only backdrop they have is the Red Sea. He then adds another component, Baal-Zephon. Baal-Zephon means Lord. The word Baal means Lord. Zephon means hill or north. In other words, Lord of the north. In Hebrew, it is described that way, Lord of the north, Baal-Zephon. In Egyptian, it gives a different connotation. It's not just Baal-Zephon or Lord of the north. It is actually the god of the typhoon. I'm going to say that one more time. The god of the typhoon. I'm going to say it one more time. The god of the typhoon. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to camp at the strong tower, this marshland place full of caverns at Baal-Zephon. Baal meaning Lord. So it tells you that this is a location where people worshiped a god or a deity that had power over the water. Now, you don't hear what I'm saying. I want to position you in a place where people are serving a false god to do in your life what only I can do, and use your life as an example of who God really is. You want me to rewind that? I can't do it. So the position is strategic, and it's a place that makes no sense, because the only people that go to this location are people that worship the water god. You can't fight from this spot. You can't defend yourself from this spot. You can't get back at nobody from this spot. You can't get revenge from this spot. I know I'm on the right message. You can't do nothing but this spot from this spot, but stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to stand still in your moment. The reason why this is important is because when people experienced this encounter, when they had this moment, they weren't in the experience. They were so worried about what was going to happen that they had the audacity to say to Moses, did you not have nothing better to do but to get us out here in the middle of nowhere just so that we can die? Did God bring us out of Egypt just so that we can die? This is their mindset. And Moses had to raise up and stand up and look at them and say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In other words, if you move from this spot, you're going to miss your moment. You can't do nothing in this moment but be still. And when God gives you a command to do a thing, that's when you do a thing. But when you be still, you're going to see the salvation of God. In other words, if you would be still, you can experience what God has been orchestrating all this time. You could see the thing in real time unfold right before you and add layers to your testimony so your soul grows inside the story. The reason why God strategically positioned them in this place was so that their soul would grow inside the story. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that God doesn't just give you an experience to have an experience. He gave you the experience so that your soul would grow from the experience. So that the next time you have to have a moment or an experience, you recall to your mind, and therefore you have a hope that it's because of the Lord's mercies the last time you were not consumed. Oh, God, who am I talking to? You don't cultivate your soul. I'm gonna slow down here for a second. We live in a day and age that's so quick, that's so fast, that's ever so rapidly changing. Change is not your enemy, but it's so rapidly changing that we don't cultivate our soul. We don't take time to meditate on the word day and night. so that we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, whose leaf does not wither, and whatsoever we do prospers. We don't take time to understand your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We don't take time. I'm preaching right now. Y'all ain't saying a thing as I'm talking about cultivating your soul, because your spirit is regenerated, but that soul has to be renewed. Your mind has to be renewed every day, daily. You have to have a word or a thought going in that's going to take away a toxic thought or a toxic memory. Ah, God, I feel like preaching in here. That's why you got to wake up in the morning and seek his face and get in that word. And am I speaking English? Am I speaking Spanish? Am I talking right in here? Slap your name and say, cultivate your soul, baby. Cultivate your soul. Stop listening to the crowd. Stop listening to all of the white noise. Get alone. Close your closet. Cultivate your soul. So what? The experts said. The experts are not God. They don't. Oh, God, I feel like preaching in here. They're not the Lord. If I left it up to the experts, I wouldn't be where I am right now. The experts told me, don't go in that building. Don't buy that building. Don't start your church in that building. The experts told me, it makes no sense. I said, I know it don't make any sense. It didn't make any S-E-N-S-E or C-E-N-T-S. Y'all ain't said nothing. It didn't add up. It didn't add up business-wise. It didn't add up philosophically. It was stupid. It was dumb, but it was God. Y'all ain't said nothing. And because it was God, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't an... God is not the God. No, God is not the God of coincidences. It's not an accident. And so it takes somebody having an Exodus experience that wants to experience the experience and grow their soul inside the story, rather than just letting it happen to you and you quickly forget when you get into the promise what the Lord has done. You see, if you don't experience the experience, God will take you to a different platform and you will not appreciate that platform, and you'll still be complaining from an old mindset on a new platform because you refuse to experience what the Lord has done in your life, and you're just looking for another breakthrough when you don't realize God done pulled you out. So you start asking God for stuff he done already delivered. You don't hear what I'm saying, and it keeps you in a cycle of an incarcerated mind. Oh, slap your name and say, stop praying for stuff that God done already did. I hope I'm helping somebody in here. I hope I'm helping somebody in here. Let me hurry up. Let me hurry up and get to where I need to go. Let me get to where I need to go. And so, in order for you to experience it completely, it's not going to be in a rational sense. It's not going to make any sense. You're not going to be able to accomplish this by your intellect. Intellectual knowing, yes, it is the result of education. Oh, get all the education you can. Can all the education you can get. I believe in that 100%, but you have to understand something. Oh, God, when God steps into your moment, your mind and your intellect is going to have to bow and take a knee to the infinite wisdom of the Almighty God. The last time I checked, there ain't nobody smaller than that cat. That's when you have to let your will, my God, converge with his will and make a choice and a decision that, God, I'll trust you even though I don't understand you. I'll lean not on my own understanding because I choose to trust you. I choose to trust you. Today, we're not taught that theologically. We're not even taught that spiritually. We're really taught, watch me now, we're really taught to better ourselves. So everything, even in the body of Christ, it is infiltrated. Everything is about a better you. If God died for the worst version of you, if God died, stay with me, for the worst version of you, then who are you to tell God that, you don't hear what I'm saying, who are you to tell God that I just gotta be a better person? If it was that, y'all ain't said nothing, you would have no need of a savior. So you're trying to be more spiritual, and God is trying to make you more human. Because the you don't understand it. Because the more human you are, spirit covered in dirt, that's what human means. The more spirit covered in dirt that you are, y'all don't hear it say, gives way for the incarnate Christ to come and inhabit your life, and then the word becomes flesh. You don't hear what I'm saying. That means the word starts speaking to all the bad parts of your life. And that's when your will becomes his will. You so deep that now you don't need God. Because now you're at a position and you're at your Exodus experience and you're just going to speak to it and the waters are just going to part. Oh, I can't get help in here. No, God, I understand faith. Don't get me wrong. It's not what I'm talking about. I understand. Speak to the mountain, tell it be removed, be thou cast into the sea. Have no doubt in your heart. There's a whole lot that goes with that. I get it. And it all deals with you becoming more human, not more spiritual. You don't hear what I'm saying. You're trying to be so deep and spiritually spooky that you've left no room for God to show up and do something that defies everything that you know is right. You at the edge of your Red Sea moment, planning and plotting how you gonna cross over. Knowing you can't. So you making deals with networks that's gonna get you a boat. If God wanted you to cross over by boat, he would have provided a boat. Oh God, I am preaching up in here. Y'all not helping me out. You mad because you ain't got a boat. You're not supposed to have a boat. Yeah, am I talking to anybody in here? God, why did you bring me to this point? Because it's a setup. You don't hear what I'm saying. I brought you here and I asked you to camp here because it's a setup. And the reason it's a setup is because I'm radically good. Oh God, I feel like preaching in here. And the reason why it's a setup is because I'm about to display a radical grace and give you a radical moment that's gonna change your life forever. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, my God is radically good. The radical goodness of God will always lead you somewhere you do not want to go. You say, Pastor, that's antithetical to your statement. Exactly. Because the ways of God are not our ways. Kingdom ways are diametrically opposed and mutually exclusive from this world. So when God shows up and says, I want you to encamp between a strong tower and a place where people worship the God of the typhoon, and I want you to do it from a position where you have no footing, and the only thing you can do is stand still, I'm going to cause, read the text, I'm going to cause Pharaoh to harden his heart. And when he sees you in that position, that's when he's going to chase you. The enemy will leave you alone until another opportune time. If you don't get nothing else, get this. The enemy will leave you for a season, let you church it out, because he knows your mind hasn't changed, and he'll come back and slip in that thing and make you worse off than what you really were. Your Exodus moment is dealing with the enemy that is never ever going to have the capacity to come back into your life ever again. I'm almost there. What's my time? Okay, so watch me now. God said, tell them to do this. When that happens, I am going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He's going to say, is it just me? Oh, okay. Pharaoh's going to say, when he sees them in this position, they're trapped. And because they're trapped, he then, watch me now, calls his entire chariot force. Israel had no weapons. He could have just sent a handful of folk, you don't hear what I'm saying, to take them out. But because they looked trapped, he sent the entire force that God was about to wipe out. it would not have followed them unless they looked trapped. You got to trust God enough to look trapped and know you ain't trapped. Oh, God, who am I talking to? You got to trust God enough to have your back up against the wall to know there ain't no wall. My God, who am I preaching to up in here? Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's called radical grace, baby. Oh, I feel this thing down in my spirit. Oh, God, slap your neighbor one more time and say, radical grace, radical grace. The radical goodness of God leads to the radical grace of God. The radical grace of God allows you to trust God and look trapped. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. The chariots are coming. When the chariots come, the people see the chariots. And they turn to Moses and they say, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I did not bring you out here to die, and God did not bring you out here to die. Can you please look at your name and say, God did not bring you this far? I feel like preaching to take you out right now. I don't know who I'm preaching to in this room, but I'm preaching to somebody up in here. You would not have made it to this point if you were not going to get victory. You would not have made it to this point if God wasn't going to do it all the way. You would not have made it to this point. The radical goodness of God leads to the radical grace of God. The radical grace of God, watch me now, leads you to a radical moment. The radical moment allows you to live in the experience, cultivate your soul, and have an epiphany. Are you with me so far? Now I can preach. The Bible says that Moses says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The reason he told them to stand still is because when you see the chariots coming, you start looking around for your position and your footing of what you're going to do and how you're going to fight. Look at your neighbor and say, it ain't your fight, baby. He then says to them, the Lord's going to pick up this one. Oh, God, who am I preaching to in here? Find somebody else and say, it ain't your fight, baby. It never was. It really wasn't about you, but it was about the glory that God was trying to extract out of your life. I'm preaching to somebody and you ain't even in here with me. Stop taking it so personal. It's just kingdom business. Oh, God, I'm preaching better, y'all shouting. I'm gonna say it over here. Stop taking the attack so personal. It's just kingdom business, boo. Obviously, y'all don't watch The Godfather. Y'all ain't said nothing. Now, God, you have to understand, how in the world can a defeated foe really attack you that has to get permission from God to even come after you in the first place? You don't hear what I'm saying. My God, he's using your circumstance and your situation, watch me now, to affect his kingdom agenda and move you forward in a radical way that teaches everybody there's no God like Jehovah. My God, who am I talking to? Slap somebody a high five and say, there's no God like Jehovah. I feel this thing up in here. So watch me now. This is why, come on, Phillips, you gotta get out. All right, Holy Ghost, just one more thing. This is why the enemy has to attack you in a situation, because he has to ask permission to do so. He can't really affect you in particularly unless you believe the lie. So he dives inside of your circumstances. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying, because he knows God is already working on your condition. Oh, God, I'm preaching better than y'all. Shut. And because he can't inhabit your condition, the only place he can work is your circumstances. So he puts you in a position that makes it feel like your back is against the wall. But when you have radical grace, you understand what wall. There is no wall. Because I serve a God that can make walls fall flat with a shout. Does anybody got a shout down in their spirit to make a wall come down? Oh, God. Oh, I serve a God that can make a wall come down with a shout, boo. Oh, God. Oh, slap your neighbor high five and say, if you shout, maybe a wall will come down. If you stop looking at me like I'm crazy, maybe some of your walls will come down. If you stop judging my praise, maybe some of your situations will come. Woo! Let me get to where I need to go. Come on. That was a bonus. That was a bonus. Watch this. Here we go. We there now. Here we go. And so he says, stand still. You can't fight. It ain't your fight. He comes and tells him the Lord's going to take up this one. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses then, this is a whole different preach. Moses then goes back to God and in almost in comedic fashion says, God, now what? You don't hear what I'm saying. Have you ever trusted God to the point where you get to the brink and then to the next brink and you say, God, now what? You don't hear what I'm saying. And God had an instruction for his now what. He said, take the staff that I gave you and stretch it out among the waters. Why? Because he wanted the people to see Moses stretch out the staff. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And the Bible says God caused a strong east wind to blow all that night. And when the wind blew all that night, it raised the sea up and moved it back and departed the waters. The Bible says, my God, I feel like preaching in here, that when that happened, that the children of Israel had the Egyptians looking at them, beating down on them and being held back just by a pillar of fire. Slap your name and say, they can't touch this, baby. I feel like preaching in here. I need just about 30 folk in this room that will declare no weapon formed against them shall be able to prosper. You can see it forming, but it still ain't gonna work. You can see it coming, but it ain't gonna come near you. Oh God, I feel like preaching to somebody. So the Bible says that the wind began to blow all night. Look at your neighbor and say, the wind is right. When the wind began to blow, then God told Moses to tell the people, go ahead and start walking over. Now watch this miracle. They went from walking out of a marshland where God told them to camp to walking into a seabed that was now dry ground. God took them out of a position that they couldn't fight to a position where they could simply walk. Y'all ain't hear what I'm saying. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, God is taking you from a position where you couldn't fight to a position, y'all not in here with me, where you can walk. Oh God, I feel like preaching. Oh God, I feel like preaching. The Bible says that the wind blew all night long. I don't know about you, but I've had some nights where I was awakened by the wind, where the wind was blowing so hard outside, it literally scared me. That type of wind that blows over trash cans and makes all type of debris flow down your street. I can only imagine how strong the wind had to be for God to be able to blow it that would lift up the sea from its bed and then divide it in two sections and make two water walls. Slap your neighbor and say, I gotta walk in this thing. The reason why God said, I want you to walk through it is because I want you to experience it. And if you will experience it, you'll have an epiphany while you're walking through it. I'm walking through something that is supposed to be killing me. I'm walking through something that's supposed to be destroying me. I'm walking through something that makes no sense. If I was walking through that sucker, I'd have been splashing my hand through the water. My God, I'd have been petting the whales. I wish I had somebody in here. I'd have been looking at all of the seaweeds and everything under there. And it would have been etched in my brain forever of look at what the Lord has done. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, you got to walk in it, baby. And when you walk in it, don't run, don't run, don't run, don't run. Just walk, don't run. You don't hear what I'm saying. Just walk, don't run. Just. I'm going to break through something here in a second. If you walk and not run, it's an indicator of a deeper trust. I didn't touch half the stuff I wanted to touch, but I'm going to touch this right here. If you walk and not run, you don't hear what I'm saying. It's an indicator of a deeper trust. This is why the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, oh God, who am I talking to? Shall renew their strength. Every step I take is a renewal of my strength in God. My God, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You don't hear what I'm saying. They shall run and not grow weary, but then they shall walk. I don't hear what I'm saying. And shall not faint. Slap your name and say, I got to walk in it, baby. My strength and my faith is being built not by my run, but by my walk. My walk in holiness. My walk in righteousness. My walking in his word. My walking in his worship. My walking in his trust. My walking in his love. My walking in forgiveness. My walking in his goodness. Slap your neighbor high five and say, you better get to step it. You better walk in it. Oh God, I wish I had my preacher's voice. Slap three people a high five and say, walk in it, walk in it, walk in it, walk in it, walk in it. It's dry ground, baby. It's dry ground. Walk in it. 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 Walk in his goodness. Walk in his peace. Walk in his love. Walk in his favor. Walk. Look, God, I feel it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in it. The wind is right. The wind is right. Walk in it. Walk in it. The wind is right. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Watch this, watch this. There was no formula for what took place. You don't always need a formula. Sometimes God just blows a wind of favor in your direction. Do me a quick favor, because my voice is leaving me. But do me a quick favor. I need you to grab the hand of two or three people. If they sitting down, let them sit down. It don't matter. If they acting like they don't want to do nothing, it don't matter. And the reason why it doesn't matter, not because they don't matter. The reason why it does not matter is because when the wind blows, you don't hear what I'm saying. When the wind blows, ain't nothing you can do about it. You don't hear what I'm saying. When the wind blows, it's nothing you can do to stop it. It's nothing you can do to control it. It's nothing you can do to adjust it. It's just blowing. And God brought me here this morning to tell somebody that the wind of favor is blowing in your direction. Shake that person's hand like you're about to shake it off. And say, blow, Holy Ghost, blow. Oh God, blow, Holy Ghost, blow. Blow a wind. Blow a wind. Oh, blow a wind. Blow a wind. Blow a wind. It's blowing. It's blowing. It's blowing. It's blowing. Oh, God is blowing. It's blowing. It's blowing. Whoa!
Oh, God, I feel this thing in here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, it's blowing, baby, it's blowing. It's blowing, it's blowing. It's blowing on my house. It's blowing at my job. It's blowing on my family. It's blowing on my body. Oh, God, I feel it alone. It's blowing. It's blowing, it's blowing, it's blowing. Hey, glory, glory, glory. Watch this. The radical goodness of God causes you to experience the radical grace of God, which gives you an epiphany in a radical moment. When God gives you a radical moment, watch me now, it destroys the enemy that you did not have the ability to fight. My God, I wish somebody really get this thing and stop being so cute. There is stuff in your life that you cannot fight. Mindsets, feelings, generational curses, thoughts that keep coming back, the same old cycles that never seem to be broken. I'm telling you, God is about to swallow that thing up. Oh, God, I feel it in here. Oh, God, I feel it in here. Slap two or three people and say, I got radical goodness. I got radical grace for a radical moment. Now I'm about to give God a radical praise because he's about to show me the enemy that I could not beat. Oh, God. Swallowed up in victory. Somebody give God a praise. Yeah. Oh. Look at your name and say, excuse me, boo. I'm about to take 30 seconds and give God a radical praise. Now, if I offend you, I'm sorry. Do it again. I ain't gonna let the sound mess me up. Look at your neighbor, say, excuse me, but I'm about to give God 30 seconds of radical praise because he's been radically good to me and he's given me radical grace. Now I'm about to see the enemy I couldn't beat swallowed up in victory. On the count of three, you go to give and God, oh God, stop right there, stop right there, stop right there. Listen, 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 listen. Listen to me, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen, somebody getting it right there. Listen to me. This ain't no play church right here. This ain't no get you hype, make you dance. This is a radical praise for a radical victory that God is giving you in this moment. That means the moment you choose to give God a radical praise. The enemy you could not, you don't hear what I'm saying. The enemy you could not beat is going to be swallowed up in victory. Go get my other one. This is not. Turn this one off. All right. Turn this one off. There we go. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm not trying to hype you. I am telling you prophetically. You got stuff you can't beat. And God is about to end this. Yeah, through my praise, yes! Yes! Through your praise. You ain't got time to be worrying about what somebody think about you. I need a radical victory for this radical moment. The next 30 seconds, you go to giving God a radical praise and watch him swallow up the thing you could not beat in total victory. Are you ready? One. Two, one, two, one, two, three, get it.
better get yours. You better get yours. You better get yours. Somebody's getting victory. Somebody's getting victory. Somebody's getting victory. Somebody's getting victory. Gotta go. Hallelujah. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I saw my enemy defeated today. Come on, slap somebody high five and say, I saw my enemy defeated today. The radical goodness of God. The radical goodness of God leads to the radical grace of God, which gives you an experience that gives you an epiphany, the aha awareness that the enemy you could not fight, the enemy you could not beat, the enemy you could not destroy, you will never see again. You will never see again. You, oh God, I feel it. You'll never see procrastination again. You'll never see depression again. You'll, oh God, I feel that thing in my spirit. Oh God, you'll never see that demonic spirit of depression another day in your life. You're being healed of bipolar disease. You're being healed of mental illness. You're not, God, I feel, you're being healed from family trauma. You're being, God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost in here. Hey! I gotta get out of here. Lift those hands all over the room. You cross over today only to see the enemy that you could not fight, that you could not defeat, swallowed up. Oh, you swallowed up and what God let you walk in. Swallowed up and what God let you walk in. Don't be embarrassed that you feel like you're in a position of an unsure footing. The Spirit of God positioned you strategically to show the world who he really is. And it's not because you had to go through the sickness or you had to go. No, it's not the case. It's just that it all concurs with the goodness of God. That's why it's radical. That's why it defies logic. That's why you have to experience him. You won't be able to experience him with your rationale. You won't just be able to do it with your intellect. You won't just be able to do it with your emotions either. It won't be aesthetically pleasing. You can't just know him with your senses. Yeah, I'm all up in the epistemology and all that wonderful stuff. But it comes down to an epiphany where all those things come together in an aha awareness. By intellect, my senses, my emotions, they all say, aha. God is. Oh, He is. Where my mind is not wrestling with my spirit's not wrestling with my mind, and my, you don't hear what I'm saying. My emotions are not getting in the way, and my, no, it's all there. Aha. He is. He is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. He is a healer. He is a way maker. He does love me. He has forgiven me. Oh, you got to hear what I'm saying. Aha. Aha. The wind is right. Walk on over. Walk on through it. Don't run. Walk. Experience it. Touch the water walls. Look at the seaweed. Count the fish. The wind's blowing all night. It's plenty of time for you to experience your breaker, your breakthrough, your miracle, your moment. It doesn't have to be done in a flash or an instant. God has enough power to blow the wind all night. Let you cross over. And then let you stand on the shore of another place and give Him praise while you watch the enemy that you couldn't beat chase you and die. Father, we thank You for every heart, mind, and person in this place. We have been changed today. Let us never forget this experience. Bless us. Let Your face shine upon us. Be gracious unto us and give us peace. Surround us with Your favor as with a shield. Let Your angels encamp themselves round about us. And Your blood cover us from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, give God glory all over this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.